జయ గోపీ జన వల్లభ గిరివర తారీ జయ గోపీ జన వల్లభ గిరివర తారీ యశోదానందన బ్రజ జన రంజన యశోదానందన బ్రజ జన రంజన యమునా తీరావనచారీ యమునా తీరావనచారీ జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ బిహారీ జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ బిహారీ జయ గోపీ జన వల్లభ గిరివర ధారీ యశోదానందన బ్రజ జన రంజన యశోదానందన బ్రజ జన రంజన యశోదానందన బ్రజ జన రంజన యమున తీరావనచారీ యమునా తీరావనచారీ జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ బిహారీ జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ బిహారీ జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ బిహారీ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయ ముదీరయే నష్టప్రాయేషు అభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవతీ ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికీ. హరే కృష్ణ. రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కాంటో 1 చాప్టర్ 9 entitled The Passing Away of Bhishma Dev, text 35. I have also been asked to cover text 36, but we will read text 35. Sapadi Sakivacho Nishamya Madhe Nija Nija Parayor Balayoratham Nivesha Sitavati Parasenikayur Akshna Ritavati Partha Sakheratir Mamastu Sapadi Sakivacho Nishamya Madhe Nija Parayor Balayoratham Nivesha Sitavati Parasainikayur Akshna Ritavati Partha Sakheratir Mamastu Sapadi Sakivacho Nishamya Madhe Nija Parayor Balayoratham Nivesha Sitavati Paranisainikayur Akshna Ritavati Partha Sakheratir Mamastu Sapadi Sakivacho Nishamya Madhe Nija Parayor Balayoratham Nivesha Sitavati Parasainikayur Akshna Ritavati Partha Sakheratir Mamastu Vandavati Partha Sakheratir Mamastu. Mataji. Sapadi Sakivacho Nishamya Madhe. Sitavati Parasainikayu Rakshna. Ritavate Partha Sakheratir Mamastu. Sapadi, on the battlefield. Sakhi Vachaha, command of the friend. Nishamya, after hearing. Madhye, in the midst. Nija, his own. Parayoho, and the opposite party. Balayo, strength. Ratham, chariot. Niveshya, having entered. Sitavati, while staying there. Parasainika, of the soldiers on the opposite side. Ayuha, duration of life. Akshna, by looking over. Ritavati, act of diminishing. Partha, of Arjun, son of Pritha. Kunti. Sakhe, unto the friend. Ratihi, intimate relation. Mama, my. Astu, let there be. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila S.A. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. In obedience to the command of His friend, Lord Shri Krishna entered the arena of the battlefield of Kurukshetra between the soldiers of Arjuna and Duryodhan. And while there, He shortened the lifespans of the opposite party by His merciful glance. This was done simply by his looking at the enemy. Let my mind be fixed upon that Krishna. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita 1.21 to 1.25, Arjuna ordered the infallible Lord Shri Krishna to place his chariot between the phalanxes of the soldiers. He asked him to stay there until he had finished observing the enemies he had to face in the battle. When the Lord was so asked, he at once did so, just like an order carrier. And the Lord pointed out all the important men on the opposite side, saying, here is Bhishma, here is Drona, and so on. The Lord, being the supreme living being, is never the order supplier or order carrier of anyone, whoever he may be. But out of his causeless mercy and affection for his pure devotees, sometimes he carries out the order of the devotees like an awaiting servant. By executing the order of a devotee, the Lord becomes pleased, as a father is pleased to carry out the order of his small child. This is possible only out of pure transcendental love between the Lord and his devotees. And Bhishma Dev was quite aware of this fact. He therefore addressed the Lord as the friend of Arjun. The Lord diminished the duration of life of the opposite party by his merciful glance. It is said that all the fighters who assembled on the battlefield of Kurukshetra attained salvation by personally seeing the Lord at the time of death. Therefore, his diminishing the duration of life of Arjuna's enemy does not mean that he was partial to the cause of Arjuna. Factually, he was merciful to the opposite party because they would not have attained salvation by dying at home in the ordinary course of life. Here was a chance to see the Lord at the time of death and thus attain salvation from material life. Therefore, the Lord is all good, and whatever he does is for everyone's good. Apparently, it was for the victory of Arjuna, his intimate friend, but factually, it was for the good of Arjuna's enemies. Such are the transcendental activities of the Lord. And whoever understands this also gets salvation after quitting this material body. The Lord does no wrong in any circumstance because he is absolute, all good at all times. I've been asked to cover verse 36 also, so I'll just quickly go through. Vyavahita pritana mukham niriksha svajana vadhad vimukhasya dosha buddhya kumati maharad atma vidyayasya charanarati paramasya tasya mestu. Translation. When Arjuna was seemingly polluted by ignorance upon observing the armies and commanders before him on the battlefield, the Lord eradicated his ignorance by delivering transcendental knowledge. May his lotus feet always remain the object of my attraction. Purport. The kings and commanders were to stand in the front of the fighting soldiers. That was the actual system of fighting. The kings and commanders were not so-called presidents or ministers of defense as they are today. They would not stay home while the poor soldiers or mercenaries were fighting face to face. This may be the regulation of modern democracy, but when actual monarchy was prevailing, the monarchs were not cowards elected without consideration of qualification. As it was evident from the battlefield of Kurukshetra, all the executive heads of both parties like Drona, Bhishma, Arjuna and Duryodhan were not sleeping. All of them were actual participants in the fighting, which was selected to be executed at a place away from the civil residential quarters. This means that the innocent citizens were immune from all effects of fighting between the rival royal parties. The citizens had no business in seeing what was going to happen during such fighting. They were to pay 1/4 of their income to the ruler, whether he Arjuna or Duryodhan. All the commanders of the parties on the battlefield of Kurukshetra were standing face to face, and Arjuna saw them with great compassion and lamented that he was to kill his kinsmen on the battlefield for the sake of the empire. He was not at all afraid of the giant military phalanx presented by Duryodhan, but as a merciful devotee of the Lord, renunciation of worldly things was natural for him, and thus He decided not to fight for worldly possessions, but this was due to a poor fund of knowledge, and therefore it is said here that his intelligence became polluted. His intelligence could not be polluted at any time because he was a devotee and a constant companion of the Lord, as is clear in the 4th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Apparently, Arjuna's intelligence became polluted because otherwise there would not have been a chance to deliver the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita for the good of all polluted, conditioned souls engaged in material bondage by the conception of the false material body. The Bhagavad Gita was delivered to the conditioned souls of the world to deliver them from the wrong conception of identifying the body with the soul and to re-establish the soul's eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord. Atma Vidya or transcendental knowledge of himself was primarily spoken by the Lord for the benefit of all concerned in all parts of the universe. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyasya Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyate Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare In obedience to the command of his friend, Lord Shri Krishna entered the arena of the battlefield of Kurukshetra between the soldiers of Arjuna and Duryodhan, and while there, he shortened the lifespans of the opposite party by his merciful glance. This was done simply by his looking at the enemy. Let my mind be fixed upon that Krishna. When Arjuna was seemingly polluted by ignorance upon observing the soldiers and commanders before him on the battlefield, the Lord eradicated his ignorance by delivering transcendental knowledge. May his lotus feet always remain the object of my attraction. Hare Krishna. So I beg for the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas, my father, Shri Gurudev, who is here now in Mumbai, and all the devotees who are probably watching online as well. Before speaking on this very exalted topic, I humbly beg for the blessings of all the devotees. And this is a very wonderful section of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, Srimad Bhagavatam is wonderful wherever you start from, whichever portion you look at it. But this is an especially very sweet section of the Srimad Bhagavatam. In this chapter of the passing away of Bhishma Dev, the ninth chapter of the first canto. In one sense, this section is very beautiful, especially in this chapter also, this section of verses that we are reading right now is very beautiful, because somewhere all of us have a desire that we also may receive fortune like this. This is the greatest fortune for any Vaishnava, any devotee in their lives. For a person like Bhishma Dev, who has lived for centuries, maybe three, four generations he has seen, and he has seen a lot of things in his life. He has, as it is mentioned in the previous verse, I think 30, verse number 30, that's where the section starts, that this person Bhishma, who fought so many wars, who spoke on so many topics, so many things he must have done in his life, right? I mean, if we try to remember all the things that we have done in our insignificant lives in the last 49, 50 years, so many things, you can't even remember what you have done yesterday, what to speak of over 50 years, we can't remember. But imagine Bhishma, a life full of so much activity, so many things he has done. But, as it is said, at the appropriate time, that Bhishma who spoke on so many topics, he has just finished speaking to Yudhishthir Maharaj. Yudhishthir Maharaj was very agitated after the war was over, and he was feeling very dissatisfied that I was the cause of so much annihilation of people. And even the Supreme Lord Krishna was not able to convince him. But then, by the Lord's desire only, it was Bhishma Dev who was able to convince him. And Bhishma Dev spoke brilliantly. In the Mahabharata, there's a very long description given about how Bhishma Dev gives so much knowledge, Vidya, about how to rule. So many wonderful things he speaks. But then, it says, Bhishma spoke on so many topics, turned his mind away from all topics, and focused only on Krishna. It is like almost he switched off, ki ek button se, we sometimes in the course of preaching, people ask you this question that, Krishna consciousness, will it take a very long time? Why can't we? So in the course of preaching, sometimes you make a statement that, actually Krishna consciousness is like switching on one switch. You can just turn on the switch and become Krishna conscious. But our problem is we don't want to turn on that switch. We are very reluctant to even go near that switch. From a distance, we respectfully look at the switch that, okay, it's there. Someday I will switch it on, So here we can see an Acharya, one of the 12 Mahajans, Bhishma Dev, he's showing us why he is Mahajan. This is why he is Mahajan. He is not Mahajan because he fought so many wars. He is not Mahajan because he is Ganga Putra. He is Mahajan because he shows us, one of the reasons why he is Mahajan, he is showing us how to leave your body. How to just switch off. He just switches or turns his mind away from all topics. Everything finished. Sab khatam. And just fully focused only on Krishna. This is the perfection of our life. As we have heard many times, Radha Gopinath Prabhu says that life is a preparation and death is the examination. Whatever we have done in our life, that is what we are going to remember at the time of death. That is what is going to, preoccupy our mind. If we have done a lot of work to build up an empire, to build up a business, to build up assets, to build family, whatever it is we have built in our life, at the time of death, we will become anxious about that. Are, I am leaving this and going. Now who will take care of it? This is my assets. I have to leave everything, go. I leave everything and go. We become anxious about these things. So even if we are in Krishna consciousness, even if we have been in Krishna consciousness all our life, if we have simultaneously cultivated attachment to our material assets, at the time of death, it's not so easy like Bhishma Dev to just switch off like that and say, okay, now I will focus completely on Krishna. Shankaracharya also, he says that verse, Bhajagovindam, Bhajagovindam, Govindam, Bhajamudamate, Samprapte Sanhite Kale, Nahi Nahi Rakshati, Dunkring Karane. So he says that Bhajagovindam, Bhajagovindam, Govindam, Bhajamudamate, that chant the names of Govinda, chant the names of Govinda, Mudamate, O foolish one. He's telling somebody, that you're foolish. You're at the time of death, he says that, Samprapte Sanhite Kale, at the time of death, when all destruction is going to happen, Nahi Nahi Rakshati Dunkring Karane, meaning that grammatical, speculating on the verse, maybe it is this, maybe it is that. So everyone has their version of Dunkring Karane. We may say, I don't do grammar speculation. I don't even understand Sanskrit. So this is not relevant to me. No, it is relevant to us also. We all have our flavor of Dunkring Karane, our own speculation, our own attachments. Nahi Nahi Rakshati Dunkring Karane. So at the time of death, none of this will protect you. All your attachments, all your family, all your bank balance, all your degrees. You may collect so many degrees in your lifetime. Nowadays there's a trend, that because of the lockdown, a lot of people started going online and picking up degrees, new skills, new diplomas, and they feel it looks good on my resume. So everyone is struggling very hard to collect. Dunkring Karane. Nahi Nahi Rakshati Dunkring Karane. At the end of life, this is not going to protect us. Therefore, Bhaja Govindam. During our lifetime itself, if our life is an act of surrender to Krishna, then at the time of death, it is not a big challenge to surrender to Krishna. If our entire life is about, I will lead my life, I will enjoy life, and I will also give little time to Krishna. I will chant my Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. I will chant my Japa every day. Kaide se, every day my 16 rounds I will do. And I will do my life after that. If we are living our life like that, the time of death is going to be a challenge. So, Bhaja Govindam. So there are two verses here, 35 and 36. Both of them have a lot of beautiful points. So I've picked up four themes from the two purports of Srila Prabhupada. Beautiful purports. So actually, everything is there in the purport. So I'll just pick from that. So in the verse number 35, Srila Prabhupada is bringing out a beautiful point. That point jumps out. He says that Krishna carried the order, as in the translation is mentioned, the command, at the command of Arjun, Krishna took the chariot, to the middle of the two armies. Arjuna told him that, Krishna, please, take the chariot to the middle. Now, we have to understand who it is. Who is Arjuna speaking to, right? He is not speaking to some charioteer. He is not speaking to his friend. He is his friend, but he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Arjuna knows this. What an awkward situation, no? You imagine. Imagine if you have a very senior, forget about Krishna. Even if some very senior God brother is there, and you tell him, Prabhu, can you just, just help me to bring this, just can you just pick this up for me? It's a very awkward situation. You can't do that. It's very awkward. And here, Arjuna is telling the Supreme Lord, please bring my chariot to the middle of the two armies. I just want to see who's there. And Prabhupada says that Krishna carried out the order of Arjuna like an awaiting servant. So who is this? Supreme Lord Krishna, but he is behaving like a servant. And then he brings between the two armies and he says, yeah, see, here is Drona, here is Bhishma, here are your brothers, here are all your friends, you know, Kritavarma, so many people. He points out, Krishna points out. And by his pointing out, Prabhupada explains in the Gita, that by his pointing out, Krishna put Arjuna into bewilderment. Otherwise, Arjuna was okay. Till that point, he was probably all charged up, you know. As they say, before the boxer goes for a boxing match, the coach slaps him 2-3 times in the face, you know, to get him angry. Yeah, come on, you can do it. You're going to defeat him. You're going to defeat him. You know, so he pumps him up, the coach. So here also, Krishna, instead of pumping him up first, he deflates him by saying, see, there is your dear Bhishma Dev, your grandfather Bhishma, your Guru Dev, your Drona. Now you can fight. So immediately Arjuna is bewildered by this. He gets completely bewildered. But we'll talk about that later. So Srila Prabhupada mentions that Krishna is executing the order of Arjuna. And by doing this, the Lord feels very pleased. It is not that because he is the Supreme Lord, he is the Supreme Order taker. You know, he in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that actually Krishna is the Supreme Lord. He doesn't have to take orders from anybody. He is not an order supplier for anyone. We may go and, you know, go and beg the Lord that please give me this, please give me that. But we will receive. If the Lord feels like giving, he may give. If he feels no, he will not give. As per your karma, you will get what you have to get. The Lord may not change the karma for you, even if you go and beg in front of him. He is not our order supplier. But for his pure devotees, the Lord is willing to become that. And he is very pleased. If a devotee gives him an order, my Lord, please do this. The order is not that Krishna do this. It is, my Lord, please do this. Right? If the devotee is in the Dasya Ras. But if the devotee is in some other little higher rasa, like, you know, like Sakhya Ras or Vatsalya Ras or Madhuri Ras, there it is an order only. There is no question of, my Lord, please do this. They just order. It's like Nanda Maharaj tells Krishna, go bring my footwear. And Krishna is a small baby. He's just maybe 1 year, 2 years old. Small baby. But even as a small baby, he's a Supreme Lord only. He killed Putana when he was few days old. He killed Shakatasur, Trinavarta when he was few months old. Right? So, he is Supreme Lord under all circumstances. But still, when Nanda Maharaj tells him, go get my footwear, he goes, toddles up to the footwear, somehow struggles to pick it up. Because for a baby, even chappals are heavy. He somehow picks it up, struggle, and he puts it on his head. Like, you know, how the vegetable vendors, they take the tokri on their head. That way Krishna takes his father's chappals on his head. Can we imagine? Shri Radha Gopinath, you know, it is blasphemy to even think like that. But the Lord does that. For whom? He does it for his pure devotee. He takes that chappals on his head and somehow struggling, he comes to his father and he gives the chappals. Please to execute the order. Then we see, and there are many such examples where Krishna was given an order by his pure devotee and he executed. Like we see, after he came at Akrura's behest, he came to Mathura and he left the Vrajvasis. When he left, leaving the Vrajvasis who are so attached to Krishna, I mean the attachment that the Vrajvasis have to Krishna is incomparable. There is no attachment in this material world which is more than that attachment that the Brajvasis had for Krishna. It is described that when Krishna every day in the morning, he would go to the forest with his Gopa friends. So when he is going, Yashoda Mai would, first she would decorate him very nicely. Nicely, she would do sola, she would give him a bath, she would do nice shringar to him, nice turban, you know, in his feet, she would put nice, you know, penjan, beautiful dress, she would nicely decorate him. And there Krishna is getting impatient. He wants to go to play with his friends. And the Gopa friends are telling, chalo, come fast. Why are you taking so long? Come on, hurry up. And Krishna is telling, Yashoda, jaldi karo, speed up, please, I have to go. She says, wait, slowly. She doesn't want him to go only. Yashoda Mai doesn't want him to go. So she delays as much as possible. And there the Gopa saying, if you don't come, we are leaving. And Krishna says, I want to go, let me go fast, please hurry up. And then finally he leaves. And when he leaves, their hearts are sunk into an abyss of despair and pain. Why? Because he's left for the day. Don't know when we will see him. So many hours later, kya malum kab aayenge? And they are in great pain that separation is too much for them. And till in the evening, by evening they have become like lifeless dead bodies. Their singing is glorious all day, but the separation is too much. And at the end of the day, when, you know, Yashoda Mai can't tolerate anymore, she's like, go and see, go, chala upar chado, climb up on the, you know, on the terrace and see if you can see. It is almost time, Krishna has still not come. Then Nanda Maharaj climbs up and he says, I can see the dust. That means the calves are coming. That means Krishna is coming. Don't worry. He's on his way. So then they're like, ah, he's come back. So much attachment, so much love the devotees had for Krishna. Imagine when Krishna is leaving them for a couple of days. They thought he's just going for few days to Mathura. And then he'll come back. And he's told them later also, abhi gaya, abhi aaya. I'm just going and I'm coming back. So they are waiting for him. Such love, such attachment Krishna has for them. He is also eager to get back there. But when his mother Devaki and when Vasudev, father and mother Devaki and Vasudev, when they told Krishna, you stay here. We are, you know, we have never got to see you in your childhood. We wanted to be here. You please be here now for some time. He was ordered by his parents. He told Nanda Maharaj, I am sorry. I'll come in some time, but now my parents want me to be here. So I have to be here, right? So this is Krishna, that he is willing to immediately fulfill the desire of Vasudev Devaki. So the dearest Vrajavasis, or the dearest to his heart, he gave up their association simply because his parents wanted him to be here, be with them. Then, you know, after he went to the ashram of Sandipani Muni, and there he learned the 64 arts from Sandipani Muni. After that, as Guru Dakshina, Sandipani Muni, his wife, you know, Sandipani Muni's wife knows that this is Supreme Lord. She says, why don't you ask him to, you know, bring back our son, we lost our son. So, Sandipani Muni tells Krishna, can you bring back my son? Consider it done. He goes and he brings back from Yamloka, he brings back the son of Sandipani Muni. Later on, when Devaki requests Krishna that, my six sons who were killed by Kamsa, can you bring them also? Maybe she heard. She said, you please bring back them. Now, they have passed away long back. Many years have passed, probably 15, 16 years have passed. But still, Krishna goes and brings them back. So this is Krishna. You know, he, for his pure devotee, he will break all laws. All laws of nature. What law of nature does this adhere to? Someone who passed away 16 years back is brought back in the self same body. Kya logic? Maybe not in 16, 24 years. Imagine, because six children, probably 7, 8 years passed as they were born one by one. 20, 24 years back, somebody has passed, but he is able to bring them back. He is a Supreme Lord. Then, another beautiful story from the Krishna book. When Krishna went and killed Narakasur, and he had taken Satyabhama with him when he went. He said, Mereko bhi thoda ghuma ke lao, you know, I also want to just take a look at what you are going to do. So she also goes with him. Narakasur is killed, and then after that, Indra had requested that this Narakasur has stolen the earrings of my mother, so Aditi. So you please retrieve it. So Krishna goes, he kills Narakasur, he brings the earrings and goes to heavenly planets to return those earrings to Mother Aditi. And when he goes there, Satyabhama is still with him. And Satyabhama sees there this Parijat flower. And she remembers that this Parijat flower Krishna had given to Rukmini, who is the Patrani, the principal queen of Krishna. So Satyabhama tells him, ki, you know, I also would like to have Parijat. Can you bring a Parijat tree? Dekho, there's a Parijat tree. Can we take it from here and can we put it in our palace? Now, in that section, Krishna, Srila Prabhupada describes that Krishna is acting like a henpecked husband. Henpecked. You know, wife is saying, wife apna hat, three hat pakad ke baithi, ki mujhe to chahiye Parijat flower. And so Krishna, he just accepts her order. He's okay. He takes the Parijat. And when he takes the Parijat tree, Indra says, are, how you can do this? Ye to, this belongs to heavenly planet. This cannot go to earthly planet. No, 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 you can't take it. Krishna says, I will take it. My wife has told me, I have to take it. Finished. No discussion. And then the fight begins. And then Krishna defeats him and he takes the tree. So, just for a small stree hut of his pure devotee, Satyabhama, he takes fight with Indra, the king of heaven, and he defeats him also. And Indra ka bhi ego crush karke, lage haath, unka bhi ego crush karke, he comes back. Then he went as a Shanti Dut. Yudhishthir requested him that, you know, we have tried everything, why don't you go? You go to Hastinapur as Shanti Dut, as a messenger. The messenger is not a very, you know, it's not a very, not a very exalted service. Like giving message of somebody, like a postman. It's not a very exalted service. But because Yudhishthir ordered him, not ordered him, of course, Yudhishthir requested him, but he went. He went and knowing fully well, he is the Supreme Lord. He knows what is going to happen. He knows the outcome of this. Ye seva ka outcome kya aane wala hai, unko pehle hi malum hai. He knows that this Duryodhan is never going to accept. He also knows that this wretched Duryodhan is going to try to capture me also. He knows that. But still, such unlimited mercy the Lord has, because Yudhishthira has told him, he goes. And he does his best also. It's not that, if you read Mahabharata, you can see that Krishna really tried hard to convince. He tried. He told the Duryodhan, he told Dhritarashtra that your son, samjhao se, make him understand what is he doing. But no, he doesn't accept. And then finally, whatever happens, so he went as a Shanti Dut. During the Rajasui Yagya, when the Rajasui Yagya was done by Yudhishthira Maharaj, all the great sages from all over the universe had come for that Yagya. At that time, what was the service that Krishna took? He took the Krishna, you know, he told Yudhishthir that give me some service. I also want to do some service. Rajasui Yagya, there are so many things that are to be done. And then he undertook the task of washing the lotus feet of the Brahmanas as they arrived. All the sages from all over the universe who were going to come, Krishna took the service of washing their feet. So, this is Krishna. He is the Supreme Lord who is supremely independent, doesn't need to listen to anybody, but when his pure devotee asks him to do something, immediately he is willing to stretch himself and do this. We see the same thing, the same streak, the same characteristics we see in the life of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, he came as a Channa avatar, but he is the Supreme Lord. When he decided to go to Vrindavan, the devotees tricked him. Nityananda Prabhu tricked him. He told some boys when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, if he asks which way is Vrindavan, you show him towards Shantipur. You point him towards Shantipur. So then those boys told him, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there, he asked, which way is Vrindavan? So he says, this way. And he pointed him back to Shantipur. Now the Supreme Lord, he knows that this is Nityananda Prabhu's trick. But still, gracefully he accepts. Why? This is the desire of the devotees. He, second time when he wanted to go to Vrindavan, he was going, he had left Nikalpade the. And you know, with so many devotees were there along with him, like a big yatra going to Vrindavan. And there Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami meet him. And Sanatan Goswami tells him that, you know, my lord, I think you should not go with so many people to Vrindavan. I don't think you should go now. The Lord, he is supreme Lord, he is supremely independent. But still, just to fulfill the desire of Sanatan Goswami, he said, okay, I think what you are saying is correct. He goes back. He goes back again. Right? So this is Krishna. Then similarly, he wanted to live in Vrindavan. After taking sannyas, he wanted to be in Vrindavan. But because his mother, Sachi Mata, told him that you be close by, you be in Jagannath Puri. Lord Jagannath is non-different from the Krishna of Vrindavan. So you be in Jagannath Puri. At least Jagannath Puri is closer to Bengal. So we'll keep getting little news of what is happening with you. I'll keep getting news. So you please be in again. So imagine when the Supreme Lord, who has a desire to live in Vrindavan, he also leaves his desire, leaves his personal desire. He through shows great humility without any complaint, without any, you know, whining that, are, mujhe to Vrindavan jana tha, ye kya hai, you know. Try to understand, I want to be in Vrindavan, I want to establish my mission there. No, he went to Jagannath Puri and he told the Goswamis, okay, you go to Vrindavan and you establish my mission. He taught them and he established the mission. So, the Lord, he doesn't just tell us to be humble. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, no, Trinadapi Sunichena, Taro Riva Sahishnuna, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadhari. He doesn't just tell us, he's living this. He's humble by his own behavior. He's teaching all of us that even though he is the Supreme Lord, if a pure devotee asks, he is willing to fulfill the desire of the pure devotee. Leaving his own aspirations, leaving the Brajavasis, leaving his desire to go to Vrindavan, he leaves everything. And he submits to the desire of his pure devotee. So what can we learn from this? We should also be willing as devotees. Sometimes we may have a desire to perform particular kind of service. We may have an aspiration to serve in a, mujhe aise hi serve karna hai. I want to do this only, I want to do that only. But if the authorities, if the instructions come from Guru or from Vaishnavas, in the same mood as the Supreme Lord, we should also be willing to accept their instructions. You know, in the Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 24th chapter, one of the verses over there, it is mentioned that if the Guru or if the Guru or I think father, Guru or father, something like that, gives an instruction, then immediately the student must accept that instruction on his head, saying, yes, sir. Prabhupada uses those words. Yes, sir. Why me? Why can't somebody else do this? Why now? Can I do this tomorrow? Can I do it day after tomorrow? Do it and do it now. Yes, sir. Right? So that is the mood that we have to have. Like the Supreme Lord, if an authority tells us to perform a certain service, no questions asked. Like Krishna, we just say, yes, sir, and we execute. Another nice point that is there in this 35th verse, Krishna diminished the duration of life of the opposite party by his merciful glance. Right? So, this is a very beautiful thing that those who are fighting in the battle of Kurukshetra, those who are fighting that battle, it is described in one of the subsequent verses that Bhishma, you know, he was considering himself more fortunate than Arjun. I am more fortunate. Why? Because Arjuna was seeing the back of Krishna. Krishna was doing the role of Sarathi. So Krishna is ahead of Krishna, of Arjuna. So Krishna, only his back was visible to Arjuna.
But all the warriors on the battlefield, including Bhishma, they were able to see the lotus face of Krishna. You know, imagine that beautiful face of the Supreme Lord. They are seeing it while fighting. Now, what is the meaning of diminishing the duration of life? Diminishing duration of life, even Arjuna was doing. Arjuna was doing, Bhima was doing. Bhima diminished duration of life of all 100 sons of Dhritarashtra. He killed all the 100 sons. So it was very clear at the start of the war, before the war itself, I mean during the gambling match, there itself Bhima had taken a vow, I will kill all 100 sons. Sabko main maro, I will kill. So he has taken a vrat that he will kill all 100 sons. So many times Arjun would have got a chance to kill the sons. And there it is described also in the Mahabharata that when he was trying to go towards Jayadrath, that time one of the brothers of Duryodhan came forward to stop him from going towards Jayadrath. So Arjuna smashed his chariot, killed his charioteer, smashed his bow, smashed all his weapons, but he didn't kill him. He said, this is for Bhima. Bhima will do this service. So like that, Bhima, Arjuna also diminished the duration. Then what is the meaning of Krishna diminished the duration? Krishna diminished the duration of these people, meaning he diminished the duration of life in the material world. Right? So Prabhupada mentions the purport that ordinarily these people, they would have died, you know, if they had died, they would have stayed in the material world for many lifetimes. Aise ghar pe mar jate, if they died at home, right? Most of them were not Krishna conscious. See, the people who have come here to fight this battle, they have come from all over the world. They are not Vaishnavas. They are not Rajarishis. Many of them are not Rajarishis. They are just taking sides that, okay, I will fight with this side and I will become powerful. So that's how they are fighting. Many of them are just fighting like that. So these people, if they had died in their homes wherever they were, what sadgati they would have got? Nothing. They would have continued in the material world. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. Would again and again taken birth. But simply because they died in front of Krishna while looking at his lotus face, they were liberated. They got salvation, as Prabhupada mentions. So Prabhupada says, apparently this one may feel that his reducing the duration of life of the people in the battlefield is for the benefit of his good friend Krishna. One may feel that way. But actually no, it is for the benefit of those warriors. Those warriors have benefited. Why? Because they died fighting. They were doing their duty. They were doing their duty. They were doing their karma when they were fighting. But because of that karma, because a soldier, when he dies fighting in the battlefield, it is described they go to the heavenly planet. But those who died seeing Krishna in front of them, they were liberated from the material world. So, bonus. It's like an extra thing that they got. So, Prabhupada says that such are the transcendental activities of the Lord. Huh? You know, they died fighting, and elsewhere, I think in Burijan Prabhu writes, that because they died, when they died, they were appreciating the beautiful face of Krishna. Now, imagine people from all over the world, they are coming to fight this war. Many of them, or most of them, have never seen Krishna. Many of them have probably not even heard of Krishna. And then suddenly, while fighting, they see Arjuna coming in front of them like death personified, you know. He's very ghastly in his fighting. There is a particular name of Arjuna which means ghastly in fighting. I forget the name. Bibhatsu. Bibhatsu means he's ghastly. When he starts fighting, it's just a horrible scene. There's death and blood and severed arms and heads everywhere. It's ghastly. Right? But amidst that deathly scene, they are seeing this transcendental, beautiful darshan of Shri Krishna. All attractive, supremely beautiful Lord, just by seeing them for a moment, they're stunned by seeing the beauty of Krishna. Who is this? My God, what kind of unearthly beauty is this? When they see his beauty, they're so attracted that even the arrows which come and chop off their head or pierce their heart, they are dying seeing the beauty. Because once you see Krishna's beauty, when the Lord reveals his beauty, see, we see the beautiful form of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, we appreciate his beauty also, but we don't have full understanding what is the beauty of the Lord. Full kya? We don't have even a fraction. That's why we have no love in our heart. If the Lord really revealed to us what is his beauty, we cannot tolerate. After that, nothing in this material world will be beautiful. Right? Like Rupa Goswami says, if you are attached to the material world, don't go to the banks of Yamuna, Keshi Ghat, don't go there. Don't go there and don't see the threefold bending form of Krishna playing his flute. Don't do it. Ye galti kabhi nahi karna. Aapka sab material attachment chala jayega. You will forget everything. Right? Because the beauty of Krishna is love. Once you see, you're stuck. Atak gaye. You're stuck there. You can't get out. So they were stuck on the beauty of Krishna and arrow is coming and chopping off their head. Right? But seeing the beautiful form, drinking the beauty of Krishna's form, they leave their bodies. Which is why immediate salvation. So that's why Prabhupada uses beautiful words. He says, such are the transcendental activities of the Lord. See how merciful Krishna is. These are people who are enemies, who are shooting arrows in his direction. Some are shooting him. Because that was the process of battle, that to disable a warrior, they would try to kill the charioteer. They would try to kill the horses of the chariot, of the warrior. So that the warrior can't move. Then, ek hi jagah pe khade rahenge, to continuously everyone will attack him and he will die. That was the strategy. So for those who are coming inimically to kill him, Krishna gives them liberation. So, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, they are also reducing duration of our lives. By their merciful glance, they are also reducing the duration of our life in the material world. So, like these warriors who are fighting this battle of Kurukshetra, we also need to fight. We also need to fight, but how to fight? As Krishna says in the Gita, Maam anutasmat sarveshu kaleshu maam anusmara yudhyacha. He says that therefore, sarveshu kaleshu, at all times, maam anusmara, remembering me, remembering the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, remembering lotus face of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, remembering him, yudhyacha. Fight your battles, whatever battles you have in your life, you have so many battles to fight. You have a battle of your job, your battle of your colleagues, your battle of your boss, your battle of your business, battle of your neighbors, battles with your own family members. So many battles are going on. We have to fight these battles. As long as we're in the material world, we can't say, no, mai to sab chhod raha hu. We can't. We have to fight. But while you're fighting, remember the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Maam anusmara yudhyacha. Then what the previous verse of Gita, what Krishna is saying, that antakale cha maam eva smaran muktva kalevaram ya prayati sammad bhavam yati asti na atra sanshaya. That is possible only if this is done. Only if all our life we have been fighting our battles, but remembering Krishna, fighting those battles for Krishna, giving the fruits of those battles for Krishna. If we are doing that, then at the end of life, antakale cha maam eva smaran muktva is possible. Right? So this is a beautiful two lessons that we can get from verse 35. And in verse 36, one very interesting point Srila Prabhupada is making. I'll just read from the purport again. And one can just compare with what is happening in the war today. The war that is going on in between Russia and Ukraine.
Yeah.
They said the battle of Kurukshetra was fought on military principles, but at the same time, I'm reading the wrong one. The kings and the commanders, the purport, He says the kings and the commanders were to stand in front of the fighting soldiers. Kings and commanders, huh? They're standing in front, not piche chupke. He says that was the system of actual fighting. The kings and commanders were not so-called presidents or ministers of defense. Not defense minister. As they are today. They would not stay home while the poor soldiers or mercenaries were fighting face to face. Very powerful words. This is written 50 years back. But look at the words and how relevant they are to today's circumstance. This may be the regulation of modern democracy, but when actual monarchy was prevailing, the monarchs were not cowards elected without consideration of qualification. As it was evident from the battlefield of Kurukshetra, all the executive heads of both parties like Drona, Bhishma, Arjuna, Duryodhan were not sleeping. All of them were actual participants in the fighting, which was selected to be executed at a place away from the civil residential quarters. This means innocent citizens were immune from all effects of fighting between the rival royal parties. The citizens had no business in seeing what was happening in such a fight. So, just compare with what is happening in today's war. Right? The commanders, the presidents are very comfortably sitting in their mansions, you know, and giving orders. Whereas young soldiers who have no desire, unka koi lena dena nahi hai, they are not at all interested in Ukraine. They are being forced to go there and fight and kill. And on the other hand, in Ukraine, what is happening? Ordinary citizens are being asked to take up arms and fight with the Russians because they don't have enough army. So people who have never, you know, yesterday somebody on WhatsApp, somebody sent a message on, you know, of some tennis player, some high level Ukrainian tennis player, you know, high ranking tennis player who used to play tennis maybe some 7-8 years back. That person is in army fatigues and with a, you know, AK-47 in his hand. He said, I don't want to do this, but what to do? I have been asked to do it. Everyone is being drafted for war, right? This is the unfortunate situation. And like, you know what, how wars were fought in the previous days, Prabhupada says in monarchy. This is the advantage of monarchy. Kings would come forward themselves. The kings, the commanders would come to the front of the battlefield. They would stand in front and the armies would stand behind. Not like modern day wars, modern day battles or what. People don't even fight. They use bombs. They use a bomb and throw a bomb at somebody and kill 50 people in one go. What kind of fighting is this? You know, you are hiding somewhere and you're just, you know, with a remote control, you're trying to explode a bomb. Ye fighting hai. This is fighting. This is dharma yudh. It's ridiculous, right? And this is what is happening. And in the previous ages, only the kshatriyas fought. The citizens were never asked to fight. That's what Prabhupada is saying in the purport. Citizens were never asked to fight. They had no business. They let them fight. I have to give my 25%, my tax I have to give to whoever is the king that wins. Whether it is Dharmaraj who wins or it is Duryodhan who wins. But I have no choice. I am under protection of them. So I have to give them tax. They were very clear about it. They were not expected to fight. But now people have to fight. Even the fight, Prabhupada says that the fight used to happen far away from residential quarters. They would not fight in the middle of, like today what is happening, they are bombing cities, bombing hospitals. Hospitals where, you know, newborn babies are being born, their bombing is going on. Our world has lost all sense. I am not saying it is one person. It's just that one person has taken a decision to start a war. It's not that others are sitting very nicely. Others are also having wars all the time. Just because now it's happening in a Western country, therefore now everyone's like, oh, what's going on? Everyone's very indignant and everything. But the same thing has been happening for decades now in the Middle East. It started way back in 1989 somewhere, you know, the Gulf War, and it is carried on for 30 years. Daily people are being bombed, killed, shot, snipers, all this. You know, sniper. What is a sniper? Sniper is someone who is shooting someone from a far away distance where that person has no clue that a war, that I am going to be shot. This is today's war. This is how they fight. But what is happening then? They fought far away from where civilians lived so that they would not be disturbed. We let them fight. After they fight, I have to give my tax. I have to do my dharma. I have to do my devotional service. Everyone was very clear. So like this, even the fights used to happen not for territory, not for wealth. They were dharma yuddha. They were fighting for establishing dharma. So if someone believed in a particular form of dharma, then they would fight to extend that dharma to other, you know, neighboring regions. So if neighboring regions were not following dharma, then the kshatriya would fight to establish that. So this is how they were fighting. And because all those warriors were right up front, that's why Krishna was able to point, see, there is Bhishma, there is Drona, there is Kripa, there is Kritavarma, there is Duryodhan, there is, he's pointing out the near and dear ones. So when Arjuna sees this, due to his attachment to them and by the desire of Krishna, he became bewildered by all this. He became completely bewildered. But he's seeing all of them in front and he is not able to control his emotions. And that's why the Bhagavad Gita was spoken by the Supreme Lord. So Bhishma refers to this in verse 36. He says, when Arjuna was seemingly polluted by ignorance, upon observing the soldiers and commanders before him, the Lord eradicated his ignorance by delivering transcendental knowledge. So, one point over here, Bhishma says, I would like to focus my mind on the lotus feet of that Krishna. So again, this is, you know, one more point where Prabhupada keeps saying, you know, there are many people who interpret Bhagavad Gita that, oh, it is not Krishna who is speaking. It is the unborn, unmanifested Brahman within him which is speaking this Bhagavad Gita. It's not Krishna who is speaking. But here what is Bhishma saying? I want to surrender to the lotus feet, to the lotus feet of that speaker of the Bhagavad Gita. So again, you know, it is re-emphasizing that Bhagavad Gita was spoken by a person, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So when he says, Ma Manusmara Yudhyacha, he's not saying surrender to Brahman. He's saying surrender to me, Krishna, the person. We have to understand that. So I'll end with these two points about the Gita. Like Arjuna was bewildered. Why was Arjuna bewildered? Because he was attached. He was attached to Bhishma. He was bewildered by the desire of Krishna also, as we said before. Krishna wanted him to be bewildered so that he could speak the Gita. But why was he bewildered? He was bewildered because he was very attached to Bhishma. He was very attached to Drona. You know, he had played on the lap of Bhishma as a child. So because of his attachment, he got bewildered. So same way, all of us are like that Arjuna. The material attachments of this world, they bewilder us. We get bewildered what is to be done, what is not to be done. You know, when we are working, when we are doing our jobs, we are doing our business, we are running our homes, We are parenting, we have children, we have to parent them, we have to nurture them, nourish them. All this is very difficult. Very, very difficult. It's not easy. Right? We feel ki kar lenge. Nahi kar paate. Bahut difficult hai. Bringing up children, taking care of business, everything keeps falling apart. If you leave things, they fall apart. So it's very difficult that what to do, what not to do. We are always like Arjuna, not sure what to do next. And due to our ignorance, the ignorance that is saying, seeming ignorance, for us it's not seeming, it is ignorance only. We are in ignorance. Due to the ignorance that we are in, we are being played by material nature. Material nature, the three gunas, are playing with us like puppets, you know, like this. She is playing us. We are being played because of our ignorance. We don't realize. So this Bhagavad Gita given by the Supreme Lord Krishna is meant for what? It is transcendental knowledge. Raj Vidya, Raj Guhyam, Pavitram. So this Raj Vidya that Krishna is giving is meant to eradicate that ignorance. What ignorance we have, it gives us an understanding of who we are. Who are we? We are the spirit soul, eternal, undying. We are not this material body. We may be in a particular body right now. We may have a particular designation. We may have a particular set of assets. But we are not this body. We are the soul that resides in this body simply temporarily. Gives us that knowledge. Bhagavad Gita teaches us why we are how we are. Main aisa kyun? Why am I like this? Why am I such a person who gets so angry? Why am I a person who is so lusty? Why am I a person who is so greedy? Why am I a person who is... So, we need to understand... Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagwan Ki Jai. We need to understand why we are, how we are. So, we can understand by reading the Gita. When we read about the modes of material nature, we can understand that we are affected because we have this body made up of these three modes. So what is predominant in our body? That is what our nature is. Because we believe we are this body. You know, the subtle body identifies with this material body and therefore we are what we are. Why are we suffering? Because of our karma. We understand that. We understand who is God, that Krishna is that Supreme Lord who is the creator, who is the source of Brahman, who is the Paramatma, who is the source of all material and spiritual worlds. We understand who is God. And how? By connecting with Krishna, by connecting with the Supreme Lord through the process of bhakti, we can also, like Arjuna, we can solve the short-term problems of life, the immediate challenges that we don't know, ye karu ki wo karu. Bhagavad Gita can help us, give us answers to those short-term questions and even the long-term problems of our life. By taking shelter of the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, like what Bhishma is talking here, by taking shelter of the speaker of this Bhagavad Gita, if not at least taking shelter of the instructions of the speaker of the Bhagavad Gita, taking shelter of the words of Bhagavad Gita, which are not different than Krishna, we can also solve the problems of our life, and we can also, like Bhishma Dev, how Bhishma Dev, you know, how he switched off everything. Sab band kar diya, sab light band kar diya. Abhi I am only focused on Krishna. We can also have that same fortune. By the grace of Shri Radha Gopinath, by the grace of Srila Gurudev, by the grace of all the Vaishnavas, we can also have the same fortune as Bhishma Dev. Which is why this section of Srimad Bhagavatam is so powerful. It gives us hope. It tells us that no matter, you may be lying in a battlefield pierced with arrows, but if the Lord is merciful, He will manifest before you also. Like He manifests in front of Bhishma Dev, He will manifest in front of us also. But for that, we have to be surrendered and follow the process of bhakti with all sincerity throughout our lives. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki Srila Prabhupad ki, Srila Gurudev ki, Itai Gaura Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna.